In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we think of ancient Christian countries, perhaps we think of Italy or Greece, and we forget some nations that have been Christian for far longer. Egypt, for example, was one of the first Christian countries. And though they fell to the Muslim invaders in the first wave of the expansion of Islam, there still remains the Coptic Christians, who are descendants of those very first Christians, the Christians of St. Mark. And they have been horribly persecuted throughout the ages, and yet the faith remains there. We really should more often remember them and pray for them. There's also the very first country to become officially Christian, which was Armenia. They too have endured great persecution. The Armenians were subject to a genocide right around the First World War by the Muslim Turks, and millions of Armenians were killed. And then there's Ethiopia. When you think of Africa, you don't usually think of Christian countries, but Ethiopia has been Christian from the time of the eunuch who was a servant of the queen of Ethiopia, from his conversion. One of the earliest countries to become Christian, and they too have endured much persecution, and yet they remain Christian in spite of this, and being awash in a Muslim sea. All of their neighbors are Muslim. Well, today we see the beginning of that evangelization which led to the conversion of Ethiopia. Not immediately, but soon after. When we have the court official of the Queen of Ethiopia, who is visiting the Holy Land, and he's reading the sacred scripture, probably in the Greek, the Septuagint, and you say, well, why is he a eunuch? Well, because eunuchs can't have children, and kings would entrust their queens and daughters to eunuchs because they couldn't do anything bad, and also they were court officials because they couldn't become kings themselves. They would have no one to pass it on to, and so that's why in the ancient world you found a lot of eunuchs as very high officials in the courts of kings. And this man is obviously very wise, because when Philip asks, do you understand what you're reading, he doesn't say, well, of course I understand. You know, every believer can look at the sacred scripture and interpret it as he pleases. No, he says, how can I unless someone instructs me? And that's true. You know, we cannot truly read sacred scripture and get its true meaning unless we read it with the mind of the church. Because it's not self-contained. You have to read it knowing the history of the church. You have to read it knowing the tradition of the church. You have to read it all of these things, and also have the authority to say this, it means this, or does it mean this. So, for example, the passage he reads from the book of the prophet Isaiah, how do we know who it applies to? Well, if you look at other passages of sacred scripture, if you know what happened to our Lord, then you know that this refers to him. And so that's why it's very important that when we read the sacred scripture, and we should, that we read it with the heart and the mind of the church, not just, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to tell me what it is. Because it may not be the Holy Spirit that's telling you what the scripture means. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.